Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Four times in my life I've had to testify in court. And in each of those times I've, ahead of the court proceedings, had to sit in kind of a lobby area. And there are usually three, four, five different courtrooms that are served by that lobby area. And just sitting amongst the people, sometimes waiting for hours for a certain trial to come up, you can very clearly identify who is who. You can tell who the lawyers are, and you can clearly tell who the ones are who are being charged with something. There is a nervousness that you can sense in certain people. People going out to take more cigarette breaks, a little more agitated. Some even start to cry. You can tell the person that others in the family maybe are sitting closer to and hugging and rubbing their neck and getting them ready for this. It's quite an intimidating process to go and stand in front of a judge, especially when you know that what you've done is wrong. It's hard to imagine that a judge in that type of a situation is going to have any kind of sympathy for you, knowing that he has to represent the law. The same threatening type of scene plays out in a lot of other different ways in our lives. When we're little children and we did something wrong and we knew we had to face mom or dad, there was a sense of intimidation and fear that would come over us. And it's very understanding. We have a built-in mechanism to respond to this intimidation by trying to avoid those kinds of conversations, trying to get out of them as quickly as we can, dodge the conversation as best we can. There's a great story in the Old Testament that shows intimidation in front of a judge and a ruler. If you remember the great story of when Joseph had ascended to the second highest position in the land of Egypt, and his brothers now had come, and on their return trip back to their homeland, it had been discovered by Egyptian authorities that they had apparently taken the golden cup of this high ruler. And they were now brought in front of him. We're told that Judah, the spokesman for the brother, came and stood in front of, not knowing that it was his brother Joseph, stood in front of this ruler and fell with his face on the ground. He fell to the earth, we're told. And he said, "Do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are like Pharaoh." And he was terrified, I'm sure, at that moment that there would be no sympathy at all coming from this man who had had this very precious goblet stolen from him. It's interesting that if we can have that kind of trepidation and threatening feelings about facing parents, or an earthly judge or a ruler like this, if we can feel that kind of intimidation, just think what it must be like to have to face God. We're told that the children of Israel, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai and spoke from the mountain, that when he came back down from the mountain, the people, the children of Israel, pleaded with him never to have to hear God's voice again. It was so intimidating. It was so absolutely terrifying for them. I remember years ago, had a young man suddenly stop by my office when I was a pastor and wanted to see me. He had come directly from the doctor's office. He had led a very rough criminal life and had never really thought much about his life, but the doctor had told him that he now had a heart defect that could easily take his life in a matter of months. And he came to tell me that what was so fearful for him was not the prospect of dying. He said, "That'll probably be over in a matter of minutes. But it's having to face God, knowing everything that I've done in my life." When Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had disobeyed just one command of God, one time. In a sense, they had only had one blemish on their record. And yet they are terrified of God. They run and hide from him. The very God that they had probably conversed with openly in the garden before this without any problem. But that one blemish, that one mark on their record in their conscience and heart made them terrified of this being. Think what it's like for you and me with a full record, a full life, years of marks against God. How intimidating it could be for us to feel standing in front of him. Well, this is why our text is so beautifully set before us today. And this is why our Savior had to come into this world to be both true man like you and me and true God. He needed to be able to relate to the world of heaven and its judicial authority and its perfection and holiness, and at the same time understand and relate to and comprehend what it's like to be like us in this fallen world and to have to face temptations and difficulties, even though he never fell to them. If someone is going to stand in front of the eternal judge of God in heaven, he needs to know both of these worlds in order to provide an answer for our situation. And our text says it so beautifully. For we do not have a high priest, speaking of Christ, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. So God has chosen to establish a high priest to represent you in front of him who knows your world, who relates to it, who understands it, even though he didn't fall to sin. And he has now specifically come here to die and now pass through the heavens and to stand in front of the judge on your behalf. It's interesting in our text, God doesn't just tell you that he exists and he's up there working for you. God now invites you to come before his throne of grace because of this. In fact, he doesn't just invite you to come to his throne of grace. He invites you to come boldly to his throne of grace. That's a great line. Because of what Christ has done, this great high priest, you don't have to be intimidated by God. You can come boldly, he says. He doesn't say, come squirming and afraid and terrified. Come boldly. That's what the blood of Christ has done for each one of you. So right now today, if there's a little voice in your head, if there's a voice that's somehow speaking to you, telling you you still need to be terrified and afraid of God someday, well, know this. It's not a voice coming from heaven. When Satan tempts you to be afraid of God and to be afraid of being crushed someday by him, he is simply practicing the art that he has mastered through the years, and that is the art of being a liar. God cannot lie and will not lie, and he's the one that has inscribed these words forever and put them in front of you today. Come boldly to my throne because of what Christ has done for you. Come with confidence. The day when Joseph finally showed his brothers who he was and kind of revealed himself, we're told that he kicked everybody else out of the room except his brothers. And then he finally displayed to them that he was their forgiving, loving brother. We're told that he went and embraced and hugged all of them, and they cried together. Suddenly, this one that they thought would never be sympathetic to them had the greatest sympathy for them because he was their very flesh and blood brother. And so it is with you before God. You might be afraid and tempted to think that you should be intimidated and that the judge will never have sympathy on you, but nothing could be further from the truth, because the one who stands before the Father on your behalf is your brother. He's your flesh and blood brother, and he still bears the marks of Calvary in his hands and feet and in his side to show the price that had to be paid to earn your complete and everlasting forgiveness for every sin you've ever done. Let us come before the throne boldly, and let us hold fast this confession. Amen.